Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor Andy Jago. The New Testament reading for today is from Acts chapter 24, verses 1 through 23. And after 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders and a spokesman, one Tertullus. They laid before the governor their case against Paul. And when he had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Since through you we enjoy much peace, and since by your foresight, most excellent Felix, reforms are being made for this nation, in every way and everywhere we accept this with all gratitude. But to detain you no further, I beg you in your kindness to hear us briefly, for we have found this man a plague, one who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout all the world, and is a ringleader of the sect of Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to find out from him about everything of which we accuse him." The Jews also joined in the charge, affirming that all these things were so. And when the governor had nodded to him to speak, Paul replied, "Knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. You can verify that it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem, and they did not find me disputing with anyone or stirring up a crowd, either in the temple or in the synagogues or in the city. Neither can they prove to you what they now bring up against me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. Now after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings. While I was doing this, they found me purified in the temple without any crowd or tumult. But some Jews from Asia, they ought to be here before you to make an accusation, should they have anything against me. Or else let these men themselves say what wrongdoing they found when I stood before the council, other than this one thing that I cried out while standing among them. It is with respect to the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you this day." But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, "When Lysias, the tribune, comes down, I will decide your case." Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody, but have some liberty, that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Dear friends, as we trace the journey of the Apostle Paul through the book of Acts, there are many moments of high drama as the gospel spreads from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and then throughout the Roman world. Toward the end of Acts, Paul collects an offering from the churches he started and then goes back to Jerusalem. While giving that gift in the temple, there is a riot started by people who oppose Paul. Paul is arrested in Jerusalem and then held in safety by the Romans, but there is a plot to assassinate him. In another moment of drama, he is taken away to Caesarea to stand before Felix the governor. In today's reading, there's a bit of courtroom drama, and that kind of caps all the drama throughout all Paul's journeys, and then what happens next is nothing. Paul has to sit in the custody of Felix for some time. Why didn't Felix decide Paul's case? We don't know for sure because the author doesn't tell us. Maybe Felix sympathized with Paul and did not want to hand him over for punishment. Or maybe he was afraid of Paul's accusers. Perhaps they would start a riot if Paul were set free. Personally, I wonder if it had something to do with what Luke tells us, that Felix had a rather accurate knowledge of the way. And what is the way? We encounter this name earlier in the book of Acts. Before the followers of Jesus are called Christians, they are called followers of the way. I love this because there's a dual meaning here. Being on the way reminds me of going on a journey like the disciples following Jesus. They travel from place to place to hear Jesus' teaching and watch him turn back the devil's kingdom with awesome miracles. The same continues in the book of Acts when the apostles and then Paul start to carry the good news to the nations. They travel from place to place following the Roman roads. Following Jesus is an active, physical thing for all the apostles, including Paul. But of course, being a follower of the way means following the teachings of Jesus, knowing that Christ came to die for sinners and trusting in his resurrection to give us new life, having faith that our sins are forgiven through Christ, being baptized into Christ to live this new life. That is being on the way. And Paul embraced both aspects of this name. He believed in Jesus and he walked many miles to share his faith. His travels took him all around the ancient province of Asia, across the Aegean Sea to Macedonia and Achaia, to places like Philippi, Corinth, and Ephesus and Lystra, and all these regions. But after all that travel, now something different happened. Paul had to stay in one place against his will. While he was held by the governor Felix and while he was awaiting his ultimate trial in Rome, Paul had to wait. And he had to spend many years waiting. He may have had to stay in one place, but Paul was still on the way. He was still a person of faith, and I imagine that meant that he would keep praying and keep singing and keep believing, and he would keep sharing his faith to all his visitors and whenever he was called to speak in front of the governor. Dear friends, if you are of the Christian faith, then you are also on the way. That is, you believe along with the whole Christian church that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And at times that may look very active in our lives, and at other times we practice our faith while being in one place. As you listen to this today, I don't know whether being on the way is very exciting or very routine for you, but I do know this. Jesus is still with us, whether we are moving or not. Even if we are not doing anything terribly exciting, there are probably things to do, like singing and praying and maybe even sharing our faith. Being on the way means being in this moment with Jesus. Dear friends, may God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit continue to bless us and keep us inspired on the way. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your beloved Son befriended frail humans like us to make us your own. Teach us to be like Jesus' dear friends from Bethany, that we might serve him faithfully like Martha, learn from him earnestly like Mary, and ultimately be raised by him like Lazarus, through their Lord and ours, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.